Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Ain't it good to be in a place where you can just relax and don't have to be so formal? Amen. That's good. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Esther. Esther chapter number 5. Esther chapter number 5. We're going to be wrapping up the book of Esther. How many of you enjoyed reading Esther? Isn't it a sweet book? How many of you, anybody want to give a testimony of something God's helped you with, or something else you want to share, just to testify to God's goodness and mercy over your life and taking care of you and providing and meeting each need? Anybody? I tell you. Day to day. Meets that need of daily bread, huh? Day to day. His grace is sufficient for each day. Each day. Anybody else? Every morning. Every time that sun rises, it's a fresh, new day with the Lord. I like that because I know there's some days I just mess it all up bad. You know what I mean? And you can wake up every morning knowing it's a fresh, new day with fresh mercies to serve a compassionate, merciful God. Because you know how it is. Every once in a while you do something foolish or something that you said, I shouldn't have done that or shouldn't have said that or thought that or acted that away or whatever. And you'll just kick yourself and kick yourself and rag yourself. And you know every morning you wake up knowing that it's new. It's a new start, a new day. It's fresh today. No matter what I did yesterday or how bad it was messed up, today is a new day with the Lord. Lamentations 3 is what we base that principle upon. Anybody else?
And I'd like to thank each and every one of you. I'd like to name them, but I'm sure I've missed somebody. But the money just keeps pouring in, and I think you're looking at, like I said, we came in just spending nothing. Prayed about it, and in like 6 weeks, you're looking at $10,000. Every day I go to the mailbox, somebody just hands us a check. Every day I just want to give.
Amen. Wondering what you're going to do with the money, huh? God just, and that's who you give credit to and the praise to, is to Him. Sharing, huh? Telling us the good news from a far country. Amen. It's like fresh water. Always. Always. You don't have to sell donuts at Walmart. If God puts it on you to do something, He'll take care of you. Amen. Now, He's going to do it through people, no doubt. But you don't have to go beg the world for money. He's going to provide through His people to take care of His people to fulfill His mission. Amen. I really believe that. Now, there's other avenues out there that utilize, schools utilize others to help out, but we're not the school, are we? We're the church. We're the called out assembly of the Lord, and He sends us where we go, and we just trust in Him and rely upon Him. He'll take care of us. And I've always had in my mind, there's no fundraiser better than Calvary's Hill. Amen. Calvary's Hill. A redeemed, resurrected Savior knows how to provide for us His troops. To God be the glory. Anybody else? Testimony time.
This book of Esther is a wonderful testimony of God's faithfulness to His people and the obedience in this story, Esther and all, but what God did is so amazing. So powerful that he took them from oppression to putting them on top and saved them, all through just the obedience of simple people.
Right. What God does And we give him the glory for it. There's no doubt about it. Hadassah and Mordecai. How God used them. Take care of his people. It's a great book. Highly favored was Hadassah, wasn't she? In front of everybody, before God, and before men as well. Highly favored. God blessed her richly for his purposes, for a reason. You know, God never does anything accidental. Amen?
Amen.
We know that, so we rest in that he doesn't do anything accidental. He's always intentional and purposeful in everything he does. So when he shows his people favor, it's for a purpose. When he blesses his people, it's for a purpose. It's not to be used and spent upon ourselves, but for his glory. Amen? Amen. Rich word. Anybody else? That's right. Remember what we said last week? How do you get wrinkles out of a wrinkled shirt? You got to put an iron on it. You got to put heat to it. And we got wrinkles in our lives that God uses heat, trials, to get those things out of us. They're for a purpose. Amen. That's right. An Ebenezer that we raise God's trustworthiness. We can count on him. Yeah. Amen.
I had asked a couple of people to pray for a situation.
Yeah.
It just revealed.
Yeah. Amen. You know, like what Karen was saying, a lot of times we violate ourselves the most when we are inviting God to come join us in a thing rather than us answering the call to come follow after him. And that's where we often find ourselves in those difficult times, in trouble and not knowing what to do, and frustrated with no peace. We're disturbed in our spirit. We're anxious. We're tormented. It's because we're crying out. We're asking, but we're asking God to come join us rather than answering his invitation to come walk with him. And the trial turns totally different when we're following him through it rather than asking him to come join us. We follow him. Amen?
Amen.
And think about that. Just that you're just violating yourself. And you're walking over the trustworthiness of God when you're inviting him to come with you rather than you following after him. Look in chapter 5 and verse number 9. I think we can learn a little bit in the actions of Haman and how we will be faced with situations and at times very similar to this, and we can learn from it. He says, "So Haman went out that day joyful and with a glad heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, and that he did not stand or tremble before him, he was filled with indignation against Mordecai. Nevertheless, Haman restrained himself, and he went home, and he sent and called for his friends and his wife Zeresh, and Haman told them of his great riches. the multitude of his children, everything which the king had promoted him, and how he advanced him above the officials and servants of the king. And moreover, Haman said, besides Queen Esther, invited no one but me to come in with the king to the banquet that she prepared. And tomorrow I am again invited by her along with the king. Yet all this avails me nothing, so long as I see Mordecai, the Jew, sitting at the king's gate. Then his wife and all his friends said to him, let a gallows be made 50 cubits high, and in the morning suggest to the king that Mordecai be hanged on it, and then go merrily with the king to the banquet. And the thing pleased Haman, so he had the gallows made. Father, we pray that you help us today as we have testified of your faithfulness and goodness. We thank you, Lord, for proving that time and time again. And the most significant sign of your trustworthiness is when you gave your life for us and spilt your blood to wash us of our sin. Help us, O Lord, come before you today and help us recognize and see things in your word that you would desire and delight to show us. And we're going to be subject to you and submit ourselves to you right now and just ask you to speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, through this book, we can see some distinctions that are different between Haman and, say, Mordecai. As we see and has been mentioned, you know, Mordecai was a man who said he was not going to bow down to another man and pay tribute to him as being Lord over him outside of his submission unto a holy God. And we see he raised Hadasha, a beautiful, promising woman that was going to be used in a significant way to protect and preserve the people of God. And as we look at this, we see that this fella, he'd been promoted to this high place by the king and all that he had, and been given him the treasury to do as he seemed fit. And his reaction is a little different than what we learned when Mordecai was promoted or when Esther was promoted. You see, when we're wrong and not right with God and we find somebody get promoted, promotion leads them to pride, not humility, not a humble spirit, but a prideful spirit. And I know in all of our lives there's been times when you may have been promoted or I was promoted, and I took that on a personal level and bowed my chest out and was proud of what I accomplished and where I had come, and I wasn't as humble about it, and I misused that power that had been given to me. And this is what we see here, that because of him not being in a right relations with the Lord, when you promote somebody that is in the wrong place and not right with God, it only leads to a prideful heart. And he's prideful. How do I know that? Well, the scripture tells us that when he looked at Mordecai, Mordecai wouldn't stand and give him honor when he come through. I mean, the king just placed honor upon him. The king just put money in his pocket. The king just gave him much power to do as he pleases. Matter of fact, to even annihilate a group of people. I mean, he's been given great authority and promoted highly, but this one fellow, this one man who wouldn't stand nor bow nor tremble in his presence, he couldn't get past it. Couldn't get over it. And instead of being humble and meek and teachable, of thinking of all that I do have, he's upset and can't even recognize all the things that he's got because of one person's got his eye. Sometimes we get like that. We fail to realize all that's been given to us in the Lord, and one person says something cross toward us and we can't get past it. One person mistreats us and we can't get over it. One person says something, does something to us, and before you know it, I mean, we know that all the things Jesus has given us, but we can't put our focus on that because we got our attention on what somebody said about us or what somebody did to us or what somebody didn't do for us, and we get trapped. You ever been that way? You ever been high on the hog, joyful, rejoicing, and all of a sudden you come across somebody and boy, they just put a thorn in your shoe? I mean, every step you can't help but realize something's poking at you and getting, and you keep looking back and you're thinking, man, do they know who I am? Do they know what I've done? Do they know what I can do? And they treating me this way? And I can't get past it. I keep thinking about them, and I keep thinking about what they said and what they did or wouldn't do that I thought was the right thing to do. And my joy and the gladness that I had just flew away like a bird. And now I'm depressed. Now I'm frustrated. Now I'm downcast in spirit. Because just one person got to me when I have so many other things to be humbly grateful for what God's provided. I ain't the only one, am I? Has that ever happened to you? Now, when that happens to us, we can learn something. We're not acting rightly before God. Amen?
Amen.
We're not acting rightly because joy from the Lord, or let's say this away. Haman had joy, didn't he? The scripture says he had joy and he had gladness. Look at it again. Verse number 9. So Haman went out that day joyful and with a glad heart. You see, you can be wrong and still be joyful in your wrongness. You can be glad, but glad in your wrong. You know what's more important, fam, than anything? Is that is my joy in the joy of the Lord, or is it my joy in something that is promoting and advancing me and my agenda? Or is it in the joy of the Lord? You see, because when my joy is in the joy of the Lord, circumstances are not going to affect my joy or my gladness. Amen? But when my joy is in something that is temporal, that came all of a sudden and can leave all of a sudden, I've got to evaluate, am I standing correctly or rightly with the Lord on this thing, or am I operating in the flesh, therefore wrongly and as a fool? And I believe you and me admitting here today that we've acted like fools before. Amen? And not only have we acted like fools, you are prone to act like a fool when you're not standing upon the right foundation. And when your joy is in things that maybe God might not be in. You see, what Haman was doing was conniving a plan to annihilate the Jews. And he did this strictly, basically, on the fact because Mordecai wouldn't bow before him when he rode in on the horse that day. He took it personal and said, this is a Jew. And he had problems with the Jews. Anybody know why he had problems with the Jews? Because the Jews, God's people, were told by God to kill his family, to kill everybody that was in his family. Who is Haman? Well, he's an Agite. Who is an Agite? He was in the royal line of King Agag. And anybody that knows a little biblical history knows that King Agag was a king over the Amalekites for whom God told King Saul to annihilate and to kill. But King Saul chose not to kill all of them, and he left King Agag, and it cost King Saul a lot when he did that. But you see, even down the road, one of his descendants, who had animosity in his heart, when he recognized that this Jew, Mordecai, wouldn't bow to him, it inflames him, so he connives a plan to go before the king and says, this is a people for whom is different than all other people, who have different laws than other people, and they're not going to submit to you, Xerxes, as king, so I would recommend that you take them out and kill them and annihilate them. And he convinced him to do that based on those principles, so he has all this authority to go do it. Not only that, King Xerxes put money in the treasury and said, you have access to it, do what you need to do. But he had animosity in his heart toward a people for whom he had history with. And when he had all this great joy of all his purposes coming to pass, great gladness in his heart, he sees this guy again walking down the street, and the man paid him no regard for who he was in his promoted position. And you see, a wicked man, when he's promoted, it becomes prideful in his promotion. But a righteous man, when he is promoted, What he does is he humbles himself under a holy God, becomes meek and teachable, and he has servant leadership, and he doesn't stand upon his pride because he knows where promotion came from. He didn't achieve this of his own, but God gave it to him. Amen? And great accountability comes with that. And I think about most of our people here are in positions of leadership, positions of authority, who have been promoted. And what we want to be as a church, as individuals, on our jobs, wherever we may be, in our families, is to be humble, meek people who can learn, who can be teachable, and serves out of a gratitude for the glory of God. Therefore, when people cross you or people go against you, your joy is not diminished. Your gladness is not stripped from you because your joy is in the Lord. And you're going to rest in Him. Amen?
Amen?
You see, you promote the wicked man, he's going to become prideful. You ignore the wicked man, he's going to become indignant toward you. You ignore some people, and they're going to do everything they can to make their mark on you. They're going to want to prove themselves to you. And what we find here, he was filled with anger and wrath and all. He couldn't get past it. Look, the word here says it. He comes out that day in verse 9. He's joyful. He's glad. But when Haman did what he did, when he saw Mordecai, the scripture says he was filled with indignation against Mordecai. What does the word filled mean? If you were filled with the Spirit of God, what does that mean? You're consumed, you're controlled, you're influenced by it. It takes over your life. How many of you have been drunk before? You could admit it. I understand. When you were under the influence of alcohol, did it manipulate you and control you, or did you still have full control? You may have thought you had control, but that alcohol did what? It began to control you. Scripture says wine is a mocker and strong drink is a brawler. That spirit will take over your life when you under that influence. Well, when you're filled with wine, a strong drink, it's going to manipulate you. It's going to control you. It's going to influence you. And the same way when you are filled with indignation. How many of you have been filled with indignation, just angry, mad, because of what somebody did or didn't do? Or said. How many times your kids ever make you mad? Well, if you wouldn't get in trouble over it, you'd knock their teeth out. You know what I mean? Brandon, your dad ever tell you that, boy? Somebody asked me the other day, would your daddy still whoop you? I said, we done grown past the whooping stage. He'd just probably try to knock my teeth out if I did something wrong. He used to tell me that all the time. Boy, I paid for those teeth. I'd knock them out. That's just... But then, your spouse ever get you mad? Where you couldn't get past what she didn't do or did do or he did or didn't do? Well, it may not be your spouse. It may not have been a child. Has your brother or your sister ever made you mad? Well, you just couldn't function right. All you couldn't do but think about what they did or didn't do, what they said. Has your boss ever made you mad? You don't always let your boss know they made you that mad though, right? Why? Because there's something of value there. You don't want to lose your job, do you? But have you ever been where you've been so filled with indignation that you could not think of anything else but ways that you could hinder, hurt, ruin, whatever it would take to get this one, to take care of that individual who just did that to you or what? Have you ever been there before? This is where Haman was. This promotion led to pride, and this pride led to, when he was ignored, he was ignited with a flame within him to deal with this Mordecai. Who in the world does he think he is to treat me this way? He goes home and he pouts like a baby to his wife and his friends over what Mordecai did. He tells them all the good stuff he just got in his mind, and then he says, but none of that matters. It doesn't matter the fact that I'm second in command of the kingdom of the Persians, which included a big kingdom. It doesn't matter the fact that the king just gave me all this access to all this money to do as I see fit. And it really doesn't matter the fact that he's given me authorization to write a law to have all the Jews killed on a particular day that give people freedom. I'm going to be a hero in the eyes of the world because we're going to annihilate the people that everybody else don't like. He said, but none of that matters because of one man, Mordecai. You see, when you are ignored and are filled with indignation toward those that just keep neglecting and ignoring you, it ought to be a good revelation to you that you're acting foolishly. Amen? Amen. Really, think about it. I know of preachers at times, they act out of indignation because they seem to get ignored by all the other preachers. We live in a day and age that if you're not popular and you don't have fame and you're not on the radio or TV or have this big ministry or have a bunch of books or all that, that you're really not accomplishing stuff and people are not giving you the glory that you're due. And you see, that's acting foolishly, isn't it? If you're doing what God called you to do, whether nobody in the world ever recognizes it or not, you're in the best place you could ever be. Amen? And you can rest in that. Now, you don't have to be worried about who sees it, who don't see it, who notices it and who doesn't notice it, who gives you credit or who don't give you credit. There's a lot of churches that are in trouble today because there are people who are acting wickedly and foolishly because somebody didn't give them credit for something. Are you with me? I taught that class and they did not acknowledge that. I led this study and nobody said nothing. I bought this and nobody has acknowledged it. I did this, I said that, I went here, done this, done that, and nobody sent me a thank you letter. Nobody did anything for me. Nobody's done anything. And no matter what I've done, it doesn't matter because nobody noticed what I've done. You know, there's a lot of trouble in places right now because of that spirit. Indignation because of being ignored. That's how the foolish or the wicked or the wrong man acts. And then we see just one more step that we can learn where people are and where I am when I act these ways. Yes, promoted, but prideful. Ignored and filled with indignation. But when you give treasures, you entrust treasures to a wicked man, they become tyrants or terrors and not blessings to people. Here's a man who's been entrusted with much, and what does he become, Brother Shannon? A terror to people, a tyrant. When God entrusts his gifts to us, it's not to hoard it over or lord it over the people. It's so that we can be a blessing to people. Amen? Not a taker, but a giver. We need to be known as givers. And when I'm operating outside of the will of God, Jody, I'm going to be a taker and not a giver. And what we need to be as the people of God is givers. We need to bless people. With all that God's entrusted to us, he's treasured us with many things. Just be a giver. It may not be monetarily, it may not be something tangible, but it may be something God's entrusted to you, wisdom. Give it away, amen? Scripture says, buy the truth, and buy truth, wisdom, and understanding, and do not sell it. That's saying, pay the cost to get whatever you got to get, but you can't sell it. Don't use it as a means to bargain with people. Give it away, amen? Amen. Give it away. But you entrust the wrong person with the wrong resources, and they will become a terror with those resources, a tyrant. Look at our government. Are you with me? People who have been promoted with much power. Instead of being humble, they become prideful. When you don't notice them, they become ignited with a flame against you, and you give them much treasures, and they use it as a terror rather than using it as a means to be a blessing people. Just got to be cautious. Unchecked power is dangerous, isn't it? Haman was a man who had unchecked power. And when one man neglected him, it quickly manifested his real nature of his heart. And he was glad and he was joyful, but his gladness and his joy was in things God wasn't in. and his actions clearly became manifested before people. I'm thankful God can take care of us even in situations like that. Amen?
Amen.
But what I need to learn is that I need to be cautious when men promote you or promote me, I don't need to let that go to my head and be prideful about it. I need to be humble in knowing where that promotion comes from, where that praise comes from, and direct it back to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
When people don't take notice of me and disregard me, you know what I'm talking about because you've all experienced this before. Ladies, how many times you been somewhere and you just went and got freshened up and you got your manicures, pedicures, hair done. I mean, you feel like you're on top of the world, but nobody noticed. As pretty as you feel, you feel rejected and wounded because nobody took notice. Y'all shake your head with me, say, I know what you're talking about. We got to be cautious with that, don't we? We need to know who we stand before and who's invested his lifeblood on our behalf. And what I really need to know is what he thinks about me. Amen?
Amen?
And who I am before him. And when God gives me things, I need to go give that stuff away and let it be used as a blessing and not a taker that I become a tyrant and terror around people, even if it's in a little sphere that God's given me responsibility in. I need to do it for his glory. Amen?
Amen?
So I believe these are a few things. You know, this book, Brother Bill was asking in Sunday school, said, you know, this is one of these books that's, there's a lot you can see, but it's not like a book of like Ephesians or Romans where you can get in the details on principles or Proverbs. It's history that God gives us. And there's a lot in it, but it's a lot in it you gotta work through and pick up and do some comparisons and those things, and you can learn great things from it. And even though God's never mentioned in the book, we see his hand all the way through it. Amen?
Amen.
Let's live that way. Whether it's on the campus as a student or as a teacher, whether it's in the mill or on the highways and the byways, whether it's on the job or in the church or in the community or wherever we may be. We may be in a place that nobody ever recognizes or gives glory to God. We can still humbly serve him and know that he's still the one on the throne. He's still working, and he can use me to have an impact wherever I'm at. Amen?
Amen.
But if I act foolishly like Haman, that's not going to happen with me. But if I submit myself to the Lord like a Mordecai, I'll be in the right place and the right position to be used by God as he sees fit. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Would you stand with me? Father, we bless you today and thank you. We give you praise and glory and thanks. Thank you for this great treasure, these nuggets of truths you've given us and how you work and what you do and how you protect your people. We love you and thank you today and ask you to work with us, use us, however you see fit. And we're asking you to continue to extend your invitation and call upon our lives to come follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.